It's more than facts. It's more than just working hard. Although all of those may be true, there are supernatural dimensions in life. These are found in verse 9. We read that the first time.
And so it was when he had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me."
Okay, great word there, spirit. Don't get hung up on the double portion part, just spirit. I want your spirit. That word, of course, anytime you see it in the Bible, it usually is a word that means breath or wind, and it's describing something that is unseen, but it is supernatural. He said, I see there is something supernatural in your life, and I want that spirit to be at work in me. This is more than just facts. It's more than skill. It's more than effort. He said there's something supernatural. God is involved in your life. And so this is a great Bible dimension. I challenge you to study for yourself this dimension called blessing. 640 times in the Bible that word bless, blessed, blessing is found in the Bible. Very, very important a dimension. It has a wide range of meanings, but basically it means if you are blessed or if someone blesses you, it means to bestow good, to cause to prosper. Prosper means to let it be led on a good road. This is what he's asking. I'm asking that something supernatural would be in me that would be at work in the dimensions of life, in relationships, finances, ministry, fruitfulness, problems, whatever. I need something supernatural to be at work in my life, and that's what we call blessing. So, in this scripture, it shows us that one person can bestow a supernatural dimension on another person. The Old Testament, we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all bless their sons. Very formal ceremony in which they laid their hands and they bless their sons. And Moses and Aaron, they bless the children of Israel. And you'll often find that this blessing would come at times of transition. This wasn't just like, hey, you know, Tuesday, I would like a good feeling. It's transition times. You'll find when they were moving into adulthood or about to get married, or they were going to go on a journey that may be dangerous, or when someone was about to die, when they're facing challenges of war or entering in the promised land, entering into the will of God. Those were the times that blessing became very important, because they're recognizing, I need more than what I can do. I need God to do something supernatural for me and on my behalf. Now, in life, blessing, and we can look at this in more detail, but in life, there is an element that blessing is a natural process. You can see elements of it. We won't go into all this. You get blessing from your family, and it's meant to be from your father. If you had a good father, of course. Then in the Bible, you see blessing is words of value are spoken. That brings a blessing in itself. A meaningful touch in the blessing. There was something about touching. They laid hands. There's in a healthy home when parents and especially a father, when to get a hug or a pat of some kind, that does more. That's something that is supernatural. And that's why you often read that they laid hands or there was a touch involved in some kind of the blessing. So that would be a natural process. But what we're reading here is we're talking about a deliberate process. And some of these, when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when they blessed their sons, that was deliberate. This wasn't just over the course of years they said words of value and gave hugs. This was something, it was like a ceremony where a blessing would be officially conferred. In conference, in the New Testament, this is what we're doing. We're taking New Testament pattern, there is the laying on of hands. That's something that is supernatural. That when you, when we're sending these couples out to lay hands on them, we are conferring something on them. Men of God that have a dimension, we're saying, God, let it be upon them for all that they're going to face. And then, of course, there can be an official ceremony where perhaps a father could officially bless. In this scripture, this is a pastor and a disciple, if you will. Prophet and disciple. So this is now a transference of equipping and ministry. And so this is what's happening is a disciple is saying, I want in my ministry, I want the supernatural dimension that is in you. I want that to be upon me. That's what we call blessing. Let's talk secondly about pursuing the blessing. This is not an accidental dimension. One of the things that I see in men sometimes, it's like they think that life is magic, that somehow they're just kind of magically going to get something good. This scripture tells us you have to pursue the blessing. Verse 9, the second time, Will.
When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you, for I am taken away. And Elijah replied, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor.
Okay.
That's the NLT.
That's fine. And so this is what he wants. This is a passion. This isn't just simply Elijah going down, hey, be blessed, and walking down another side, wow, I got it. There has to be a heart. It's like, what do you want more than anything in the world? There's a man who can hear from God. If this guy can raise the dead to life, he probably could get you a pretty healthy pay raise. This man can pray. But he says, I want your spirit. There has to be a path. If you don't want it, it's very unlikely. Don't matter how many people lay hands on you. If you don't want, if there's not a heart to gain this. So he's crying out, I want what my pastor has. Then there's the effort that is involved to pursue blessing. And that's the other side of the coin. You take the time to read all of chapter 2. You know the story. It's almost like Elijah tests him. It's like he told him, all right, you can be blessed if you see me when God takes me up. When I disappear, if you're there, then you're going to get the blessing. And then he would test him. It's like, you know what? You should stay here for a while. Take it easy. I got to go someplace. He's like, I'm not leaving you. Absolutely not. Three times, Gilgal and Jericho and different places here. That three times, I will not. There's a pursuing. There's time. There's effort. There's obedience. There's patience involved. So this is, don't think that you can just have one prayer in a ceremony and that's it. You're blessed for life. Only if there is correspondingly a heart that wants to pursue. I want that in my life. Final thought. Is after the blessing. I've seen through the years many, many people that have had hands laid on in conference, in revivals, in various church services, and it didn't seem to do much for them. So I see some people it makes a powerful difference. Other people it seems to make no difference at all. Does that same guy was doing the blessing or the praying? So this tells us that there has to be ongoing personal decisions. 2 Kings 2:14.
Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over.
Okay, so now he has the blessing. He cried out for it. He was making sure that he was obedient so he didn't miss it. Now he has it. You have to follow up with right decisions. So taking up the mantle, I would just take that as a symbol. You have to believe that what was bestowed. You have to believe I have something supernatural. That's an element of faith. That's crucial for you to believe God for yourself. Striking the water, then there are actions of faith that you have to step out on your own, for praying for the sick, you know, witnessing to people, trying an outreach. There's a lot of different things, giving finances, stepping out in faith. That'll be crucial. Then where is the Lord God of Elijah? So he is connecting himself to Elijah. He's comparing himself to Elijah. In other words, reference points. That would be healthy for a person to examine. The way I'm acting, the way I'm reacting in life, am I like my pastor? So those are healthy decisions. So a supernatural dimension is available. You cry out and seek it, and then you act in light of it. There is something that is supernatural in life that really will make a difference in your life. And this is something that is a powerful dimension at work. And I see this in especially in our world, where we have broken homes. You have people that they're missing out. When my Pastor Mitchell and I, we were in London this past week, and they have us come every year, and so we preach. But one of the things that makes a great impact to them is they see our relationship, and they see how we relate to each other, the healthy relationship that makes an impact. So ever since I read this article, which I'll give you after we're done, ever since I read that, I said I believe that is something that needs to be imparted. That is something that needs to be sought. So very simply, instead of questions, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to pray. And we're going to pray individually. I'm not just going to lead you in a mass prayer. Based on what I said is about blessing. So how many of you would like a supernatural dimension at work in your life? You want God to be involved in your life. So we're going to go over here where we have room. And I am going to take the time. I'm going to pray for any of you that you want blessing. I'm going to pray for you one at a time. And we're going to believe God for a supernatural dimension. Okay?